Hi, this is Danielle from the Jealous Curator, and this is episode 87 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Now, speaking of Saatchi Art, I am on my way to LA in the next few days, and I'm going to be attending the opening of their latest show called Mark Making. It's a show featuring Los Angeles-based artists. It's in Santa Monica. Here's the address, 1655 26th Street. It's on Thursday night, February 16th from 5 until 9. I'm going to be doing a little meet and greet, and if you happen to own any of my books and you want me to sign them, I will be there with a pen. I'm only going to be there from 5 until 6 before I have to run off to another event that night. Life in LA, am I right? Anywho. Okay, so California, the perfect segue into the introduction of today's guest. Okay, you guys have been asking me to have her on for months and months, so wait no more. Yep, painter Elise Morris is finally on the podcast. I waited for a while before I asked her because she had just had a baby, and I was pretty sure that if I didn't time it right, she'd say no. I am way too tired. Leave me alone. Well, according to her Instagram feed, she is back in the studio, so I figured now was a good time. Let's find out where all of her dreamy, layered, large-scale botanical paintings come from. Calling Elise in California. Hi, Elise.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm so glad to have you on because for literally months and months, I've had people emailing me asking me to have you on.
Really?
Yes.
I'm like so flattered by that.
But I knew you'd had a baby. So I was like, I'm going to leave her alone for yeah. a little while because otherwise she'll say no. So I'm just going to yeah. give her some time.
And yeah, so baby land is the whole universe.
Yes, it is. And so how old is your baby now?
He's 8 months old.
Yeah. That's starting to be like, well...
Yeah, no, he can sit up and I can actually put him down on the ground and he'll stay there for like a whole minute.
Yeah. And he's not walking yet. So you're in this wonderful little middle time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. They call it like the golden month of Babyland or something. Yeah. They can play and they're interested and they're engaged, but they're not on the move.
That's right.
Yeah. He's trying. He actually crawled backwards today, which was really funny.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Super mad about it because he just got stuck under the dresser.
Oh my God, that's so funny. All those days are so long ago for me now. And I just like, I love those days.
I know it's new for me too. It's like old and new because I have an 8-year-old son who's, so, you kind of get into this whole nother realm of having a kid.
Yeah.
Kid stuff. And then now, yeah.
So and it's so fun. What was it like a, when you had the new baby, were you like, oh, yeah. Like, had you forgotten stuff? Or did it just, were you like, yep, that's what I was expecting?
Yeah. I kind of, like, steeled myself for, like, the whole nursing thing and sitting down for long hours.
Not sleeping.
Not in the sleep deprivation. But, he was really good as a newborn. He slept fine. And it's just only now that he started to wake up several times at night. I think they call it like a sleep regression, but
yeah, he's probably trying to crawl backwards.
Yeah, they kind of, I guess developmentally they work out stuff at night. I don't know. I try not to worry about it because I know that it's not forever.
That's the nice thing about having an 8-year-old is that you're like, I know how this goes. Because I remember when Charlie was a baby and every phase would be like 2 weeks long or something. But in those 2 weeks, you're like, is this how my life is going to be forever? And then that phase would end. And then you're like, oh, this is how my life is going to be forever. No.
Right. I know. And then you drive yourself crazy. So now I'm like, oh, yeah. And, he doesn't nap very well. So I just kind of like, don't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Whereas with my other son, I was like, adamant that he had a certain nap at a certain time and all this stuff.
But. Yeah. And reading books and whatever. I always joke that I want to write a book that's one page. A parenting book, and you open it up, and it just says, roll with it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you can own. I read so many books. Like, everybody else's babies were sleeping, and mine wasn't so clearly. It was something I was doing wrong, and it's just like, oh, my God, whatever.
And it's funny, because, now there's this whole blogger, sphere of, like, you know, mom bloggers. And I just feel like they spew all this kind of, like, nonsense of, like, you know, the ideal whatever, you know, oh, my baby slept through the night, or, oh, this is so great, and look how perfect our world is. And it's just like, oh, man, the pressure on new moms is pretty intense.
I know. See, I didn't have that. Charlie's 10 now, so it was sort of right before that all started.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm kind of glad, because I was so far from perfect, but trying so hard to be perfect.
Right. Yeah.
And anyway, well, we're going to come back around to this, because I'm going to ask you later.
Yeah.
How are you painting with an 8-month-old at home? But anyway, we'll get back to that. So, well, I've loved your work for ages. You know that. I've written about you.
Yeah.
I don't know when the first time was, but I want to ask you about, you know, how you started, and has it always been botanicals and watercolor? So let's go back to the beginning. Were you painting leaves when you were a kid?
You know, I was like definitely a maker as a kid. My mom was also like really crafty, and she actually sewed a lot of my clothes when I was young. And I would drive her crazy because I would want to use all of her materials. And one time this dress that she, you know, made for me, and I was wearing it, and I had a project in my lap, and I cut right through the dress, like, because I was cutting, you know, papers.
Oh, my gosh.
And because I just thought, well, it's just, everything's so, like, you know, malleable. I could just make anything. And so it was great, because I had buckets of ribbon and all this stuff, mostly fabric that I could play with and make stuff. So we made a lot of projects together. But, you know, I was always drawing. And I remember, you know, my friends in, like, kindergarten and first grade would always be like, wow, why are you drawing that person purple? Or why are, you know. And I just thought, what difference does it make? You know, like, I don't know. I guess I was comfortable just kind of making things. So I just kept doing it, because I just, you know, it's my little refuge, you know?
Yeah. Were you kind of the art kid out of all your friends?
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't think I was actually really good at it. I just think I did it, you know, like, I wasn't sporty, and I wasn't, you know, into gymnastics, and I didn't do any of these things, but, you know, put me down with like a marker and some paper, I was happy. So, and I actually took like an oil painting class when I was really young. I think I was in second grade.
Wow.
Yeah. And thinking back, I'm like, I was crazy, because I have a second grader now, and I'm like, I would never give him oil paint. It's so crazy. But, I was in this woman's house, and it was in like her like patio, like covered patio. And she would teach classes, and I was actually copying paintings that she had made. So she had a box of canvases, and you'd pull one out, and you'd be like, oh, I want to do this one. And you'd bring it over, and you would copy it.
Huh. Was it all kids, or were there grown-ups in there?
It was all kids. Mm-hmm. And she was very strict. And you had to mix your palette a certain way. And
Did you like it, or was it too strict?
It was really strict. And I remember I dropped my painting, and I was always a kid that was like getting paint all over my sleeves, you know, and it didn't come out. And then my
that kid with a hole in her dress that she cut.
Yeah. And like my brushes were never clean the right way. And she was always unhappy with me. So, but I, you know, I got like, I actually started, entering contests with some of those paintings. And actually I told her like soon, you know, after doing that I wanted to do my own paintings. And it was like, what? You know, no, we do, you know, copy paintings. I'm like, no, I really want to just do my own painting. And so she would actually help me come up with like a, I think I made like a collage that I would paint from.
Oh.
So like I would like do like a schematic or whatever, and then I would copy that. So like I was copying, you know, like a photograph or something,
right,
stapled on top of like, you know. So it was, I made these kind of neat paintings doing that. But the first ones were just, you know, clowns and like weird sheds with rivers.
Do you still have any of them?
Oh my gosh. No, I have like one or two. But you know, one was like, had a daffodil hanging in my grandmother's, you know, kitchen for many years.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I love it. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California.
Okay.
Outside of LA. Yeah.
I was trying to picture where this covered patio was.
Yeah. LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's hilarious that even at that age you were like, I need to break free. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah, and it was really frowned upon. So then when I got into, you know, high school, it was like, oh, this is so awesome. And I had the most amazing teacher in high school. And she is still a really good friend. And She's very inspiring and just, oh, she just created such a warm, you know, classroom experience. And I remember just, she had an office and she had photographs all over the walls and just, she was like just a real artist and just,
Was there a gang of you guys or were, did you?
Yeah, definitely. And then in high school, you know, they have the AP or, you know, back when I was in high school, the AP class. And I took, that. And then, so we became this like, you know, good friends, like a little group of good friends that went to that class. And,
oh, that's awesome. And were you always painting then, or were you doing a whole bunch of different things in high school?
Yeah. Well, in high school, you know, you have different assignments, but, you know, paper mache and like, you know, whatever.
Clay.
They had a ceramic studio that I just loved that. And, but painting, yeah, but you know, we didn't paint with oil. So it was different for me. I was like, oh, this is new, you know, painting with acrylics. And acrylics, when after you paint with oils, it just is like, it's just so different. And the colors are so different that it's a struggle.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I started with oil for like 10 minutes in my undergrad, but I was living in res and I was like, how do I clean this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I had nowhere to clean anything. So I switched to acrylic just because it was, because I could, you know, clean up my brushes in the common bathroom with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a total mess.
Yeah. So I just never, ever went there, but I've heard that. And then, okay. So then I guess it was just a no brainer that you were going to school for art, like to university.
No. And it's funny. I was listening to your podcast with your mom. You were talking about how you did you wanted to do marine biology.
Yeah.
I totally wanted to do marine biology too. I had an internship lined up the summer before I went to college at UC Santa Cruz with a marine lab there. And I was going to be working under a researcher training sea lions and harbor seals.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I was like in heaven. And I went specifically to that school because they have this wonderful environmental studies program. So I was like going to be environmental studies. I was going to be like this, like, you know, environmentalist. And then I remember you know, you sign up for classes, you meet with the counselor. And I said, well, I need to have an art class. So I guess I'll do that drawing class. And they're like, well, you can't take those classes unless, you know, you're a major. You can't just take them. And I was like, whoa, I'm like, hold the phone. I'm like, okay. I said, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I guess I'll be a double major. And they were like, okay. I just signed up to be a double major, like right there. And just so I could take the class. I didn't even think I would follow through with a major, to be honest. And then, so I had a full load of classes my whole 4 years.
Oh my God. So you went through with a double major?
Yeah, I did. But environmental studies, was, you know, intense, and it definitely became so much more about stuff like policy and, you know, I don't know, just stuff I just wasn't as interested in. I was interested in the ecology and, like, you know, the animals and the plants and all that stuff. I wasn't interested in as much as, the planning. It was like policy planning and, you know, like city planning, just all this stuff that goes into, you know, preserving our environment. It takes all these other steps. So, so I did go through the environmental studies, you know, program, but the art definitely took my, attention.
And your heart probably.
Yeah.
And so did you find that, well, that's so interesting now that you say that, because your work is nature.
Right.
And so when you were in university, were they kind of crossing over each other? Like, were you bringing the nature stuff into your artwork or no?
No, I was doing really,
clowns, sheds.
No, but like, you know, angsty, like, symbolic, like, I don't know, lots of self-portraiture and like, you know, I did painted pictures of my friends and I did, and I was working in printmaking a lot. I was really into printmaking. I did litho. They had a bunch of stones there. So I was doing, printing from stone, which is like so amazing.
That was one of my favorite things.
Yeah. It just has such a physical quality to it. And so, you know, rolling the ink and printing, and I became really good friends, with a lot of people in the printmaking program, and we would help each other. We would sign up for press time together and you would print together. And that was, I just loved that process. And then I did senior studio for printmaking and painting. So 1 year I did printmaking, 1 year I did painting. So wow. Like, as
and what kind of, were you still doing acrylics then, or what were you doing for painting?
I was working oils.
Okay. You went back to oils. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the school, it's so great. They, like, you can build your stretchers in the wood shop, and you know, like, they have the hazmat collection bins. You don't have to, like, worry about all this stuff. So great.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the studio. And the studios there are beautiful, and they, UC Santa Cruz is, like, you know, in the middle of a forest, like the campus. So, you know, the painting studios have skylights looking out into beautiful forest.
And, wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so what did you think you were going to do when you finished? Were you, like, going to go with the seals and then paint on the boat?
I thought I was going to teach. I thought, oh, I'm going to teach. And then I remember having conversations with my professors, and they were like, well, you're going to paint, right? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm going to pursue this, you know, environmental studies, like teaching or something. I don't know. I didn't know. And I ended up applying to the Peace Corps when I was there in, I guess, my junior year, senior year. And environmental studies is a required major for Peace Corps at the time.
Wow.
So it worked perfect. You know, I was like, oh, I'll just be in Peace Corps for, it's a two and a half year commitment. And then you go abroad and work on projects. And I was going to, so I got in to that, and I lived in the Dominican Republic for 2 years.
Oh my word. See, this is why these interviews are necessary.
I mean, looking back, it's like so crazy. Like, why did I do that? But yeah. And they just plop you out in the middle of nowhere. And I was going to be an environmental studies educator, or environmental education was my program. And they put you out in a community by yourself. So you're the only American in this community, and you work with all the teachers and all the, you know, leaders in that community to kind of implement certain programs.
Within and high schools or within, like, where?
Everything.
Were you, everything.
Everything. Yeah. And so, I did, you know, quite a few programs with the schools, but a hurricane hit while I was there. And so everything was kind of put on hold because they had, like, no electricity, no water for, I don't know, 3 months. It was crazy. And and so it was like survival mode, you know, everyone kind of defaults to survival mode. And, you know, it's a very, I was in a town that was very organized, but it was also very, you know, kind of, you know, didn't have basic services.
Yeah. So. Were your parents freaking out?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Cause you must've been in your early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was crazy. I mean, if my kid told me they're doing this, I'd be like, what? So
go to art school. It's so much more stable.
Totally. Yeah. So anyway, so I came back to the Bay Area because I had two good friends who were moving to the Bay Area from there. So that's how I ended up here. And actually, you know, while I was in the Peace Corps, I did a bunch of murals. So because they just had so many blank walls, you know, and so many opportunities for just places to put good messages. And
so did anybody ask you to do that? Or were you like, hey, that's a blank wall. Could I, like, did you propose it?
Yeah. While I was there, I took a trip to Ecuador, and we saw that there's so many murals in this one area. And I was like, oh, that's such a great idea because, you know, you can put up some kind of message about, you know, environmental, whatever, you know, like, let's recycle, or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
or plant a tree. And so I came back with that idea and I proposed it, and they were like, oh my gosh. Yeah, of course. And once I did one, all the teachers in town were like, well, can you do them in my classroom? Uh-huh. And so I ended up, gosh, they kept me really busy. I was painting murals like every month up, you know, until the end at that point, like just any educational mural they could think of. In the solar
system.
That's
so cool.
And
how many did you end up doing? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I tried not to do them myself. I tried to get kids to do them, you know.
Yeah.
So that I could teach them how to do it.
Right.
We did maps. I did a huge world map at the high school. I did, you know, world maps in the primary school. I did solar system, alphabet, colors, vowels, you know, all the basics in the classroom. And that way they're permanent too. So because the schools there are so they're so open to the elements.
Right.
Posters like just don't make any sense there. They just fall down and get wet. And
right.
They don't have glass windows there. They have just like open windows with shades, you know.
Wow. That's so cool. What a cool thing to leave behind when you came home.
Yeah, I guess so.
So do both of your boys have murals in their room?
No, but Jonah did when he was a baby. I painted I painted one of the walls. We don't live there anymore, but yeah.
Because if you've got that skill, I mean.
Yeah, but it's not something I do now. I mean,
yeah.
The idea is totally overwhelming. And in fact, whenever I meet a mural artist, I'm like, wow, like that's so amazing that you do that.
Did you hear the Bunny Reese episode?
Yeah.
So cool. These giant murals. I can't even get my brain to figure out how, like the math of it, you know, like.
Right. And also you're working outside and just anything can happen. It's just,
Yeah. Okay. So you moved back to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And are you like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. So I got a job with a publisher and they were a design firm. I loved it. And then I had a studio and I painted in the evenings, you know, and actually at that point I had started working with, gallery in LA, because during Peace Corps, I started working with this gallery and, doing kind of abstract pieces, kind of small scale on paper and really geometric pieces. And it was going well, and I just couldn't believe it. I just was like, oh, this is so great. So I knew I needed to kind of push that and do more. And I just loved painting, and I just wanted to paint all the time. So I was always trying to figure it out, like, how can I paint?
You know? Yeah.
How can I make money and paint? So I had this job, and I had a studio at night. And then I ended up going to grad school in Berkeley, in a program that was kind of made for people who were working, or it was an evening program, and took me like 3 years to get through it.
Wow. And you were focused on painting through all of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did some sculpture. I did, some kind of paper wire sculpture and some, cast latex kind of stuff.
And so is that where your current work came in, or still not yet?
Yeah, almost. You know, I really worked towards abstract painting in that program. And the program was a really interesting program. It's the Arts and Consciousness program. And you get a degree in Arts and Consciousness. And it's all about art being a transformative medium, you know, that it and so it wasn't like a how to paint kind of program. It wasn't like, okay, this is how you mix paint. We'd have critiques. And the critiques, you know, might it be about how the piece is made, but it was also just how, what it was about and what was behind it and, you know, how to make it better.
Yeah.
And so we took a lot of like, you know, strange classes, spiritual, you know, like spiritual practice classes, and philosophy and history. And one class I took was about alchemy.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
So I really loved it. It just gave me so much to work with and, you know, just figuring out what my work was about. And so I was interested in kind of things that I guess were in process of change. And so right out of grad school, I did this whole series of paintings called The Life of Decay. And I was really interested in capturing kind of the moment where like leaves start to die or like branches change. And I think I had seen like a tree that had died. It was like an orange tree with a fruit still on it. So it's like black.
Yeah.
So like, wow, that can happen. You know, just like life is so, you know, it's just so, I don't know, like in an instant things can change so much. So that really captivated me. And so I started doing drawings on like silhouettes of branches like that. And I did this whole series and I printed postcards of some of these paintings and I sent them out and I got so much response to it that I ended up working with two galleries because of that.
Wow. In the Bay Area, or did you send it everywhere?
Yeah, I sent it everywhere. Well, I just like made a list of all the galleries I kind of dreamed of working with. And then my LA gallery, you know, took a bunch of that work. And then
What year was this?
Oh gosh, like 2005, I guess.
Okay.
2003. I think I was in school until 2004. Anyway, I sent the cards out, and because one of my professors in undergrad said, you know, the best way to make contact is to send your images out in the world on a regular basis, like every 6 months. And he said, you know, just put on your calendar that you send out postcards every 6 months. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So, and at the time, making postcards was like this thing that everyone was doing. I don't think people do that anymore. As like maybe for show, they send out postcards.
Yeah, now they just email.
Or you just email it or post it on Facebook. Or,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I would send out cards. You know, at the time, people would still send out slides, I think, you know.
Yeah. And, that's why I wanted to know what year this was, because I can remember going around with slides and stuff.
Yeah, and actually, to print those postcards, I would go to the printers with a slide.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, and then I'd do a color match and make sure it, you know, looked okay. So I was sent printing postcards pretty often at that point and sending them to the galleries. And then this one particular kind of series made an impression. It was the first time I worked on paper in this kind of fluid way, which, you know, I guess the piece that you're calling watercolor. So it's really acrylic that's watered down. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit more, I don't know. Watercolor, you know, will lift. And so I find that challenging.
That's so funny. So you've come back around to acrylic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I work with acrylic. Also, the colors, I think, have just gotten better.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just buying nicer paint.
Yeah, that's probably, I know in university, it was like the cheapest thing you could find. Do you ever use gouache?
No, but I have a ton that I play with once in a while. I love the matte quality of that.
Mm-hmm. So keep going. So you're sending these out every 6 months, and then that was sort of what was starting to resonate with people?
Yeah, yeah. And so then I had a gallery say, I got this postcard. I'm looking at your postcard. I want to talk to you about this work. And I was like, oh, you know, because I put my phone number on it, I think. And then and she said, I want to come see what you're, because if it's what I think it is, I want to work with you. And I was like, oh. Okay, you know, and she did. She came and her enthusiasm for my work was just like, oh my gosh, it was so great.
How big were they at that time?
Just a full sheet, like 30 by 22.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so did you, which, was that in the Bay Area, that gallery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And so off you went. And so this whole time though, you're still working at the design place, right?
Yeah, and then at a certain point, I got another job with like a real estate company, a developer. And as soon as Jonah was born, I went on maternity leave, and they had started phasing. I think I went to 4 days a week when I came back from maternity leave,
mm-hmm.
and then it like went to 3 days a week, just because of their needs had changed basically. And it was mutual. Like, I was like, great, this is working out, because I wanted more time with, you know, the baby and, you know, and I wanted more time in the studio. And then it just became clear that I needed to start my studio practice in a, you know, more full-time way somehow. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I gave up my job. And
were you scared or were you just ready?
I was ready. Yeah. Mm. I'd also gone through a divorce and it was like, you know, I had this 2-year-old divorce. It's like, okay, I need to I need to figure out my lifestyle a little bit, you know, like this whole working and like just hustling constantly.
Yeah.
It was not like serving any of us. So yeah. So I just was like, I need to simplify. So I moved into this, apartment, and it was right on a creek next to a park. And so I had a lot of time outside still, and kind of hunkered down, you know. That was like survival mode time.
Yeah.
But being a single mom with a baby or a little kid is just like really rough.
I can't even imagine how, like, I you know, if my husband's ever away when Charlie was little, I remember thinking, like, how do people do it?
Yeah, you know, it's just so do hard. It. I don't know. You just do it, and you just wake up every day, and it's like, okay. And by then I was working, you know, I guess, I don't know, full-time in my studio or part-time and then mostly full-time in my studio. And I, you know, he was in, and then he was in preschool or daycare. And I would go to my studio every day, you know, no matter what. And I had, you know, taken on a few more galleries by then. And, so there was, you know, shows to work on. I had deadlines and,
Wow, that's so inspiring. And so were you selling yourself? Like, did you have an Etsy shop or anything like selling prints, or were you just all through gallery?
All through galleries. I've always only worked with galleries. I've never sold my work on my own, except for the holidays. I'll do like a handful of small pieces because it's the small pieces don't make sense to sell through a gallery necessarily because the size. And, but it's a way for people to, you know, buy work and that's more affordable.
Yeah.
But, you know, galleries, I've always loved working with galleries and I've had some bad experiences for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, galleries are just like, okay, this does not make sense. This relationship and, you know, or they're just not, honest. And I've moved on from those people and I now have a wonderful, group of galleries that work, that I work with. And they're all so supportive of my work and, they do so much for me. So I'm kind of old school, I guess, nowadays.
That's cool to know. And, you know, I have a question about that. How does that work? How do you have more than one gallery? So is it because they're in different cities, so they're okay with, how does that work? Okay.
Yeah, different cities. Even, like, different, you know, regional areas. And you just, I don't know, you just check them out and say, okay, you know, I could use a representation back east. So, you know, and then, you know, I have one in New York, but I also have one in Boston.
Right.
And they just have different clientele and it works out.
Right. So and did you approach them or is it, have you had people approach you too or a combo?
Mostly them approaching me. I've just been very, very blessed and lucky because of that.
And you're super talented and they'd be lucky to have you. So there's that as well.
But I have to say at the beginning, I was out there. I mean, I had a mailing list. I had my labels. I was sending to galleries that I also think it's finding the gallery that you're right for. I mean, you know, applying to the wrong gallery, you could play 50 times. And but I remember when I was living in LA, I would apply to all these like big galleries and I would, you know, the rejection letters. I would be so excited to get the rejection letter just because it was like, oh, they like saw my stuff. And they, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I saved it in a binder and I had a binder of like my slides and the mailing list. And I was pretty organized. I've always been kind of like eye on the prize, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's amazing. Good for you. Like inspiring.
I remember one. Well, yeah. And the gallery owners, inspired me. You know, they would write little note. I remember one rejection letter and it had a little like note on it said, hey, your work is just not right for our gallery, but it's, you know, it's good. So keep going.
Oh, and that's awesome.
So good. You know, it's like, oh man, I needed that.
Yeah. You know, I remember like trying to show my work because the same thing, I graduated from my BFA in 95. So that was the days of taking your slides around and taking actual work around to galleries. And I found it horrible. I hated it. I found it just, you know, mortifying. But I was doing the thing like I wasn't finding galleries that were the right fit for me. I was just going to galleries.
Right.
And it wasn't until I started writing Jealous Curator that I've talked about this before, where I'd find like, you know, I'll go to a gallery website from like a New York gallery and I'll go through their 100 artists that they represent. And I don't want to write about any, like I'm not quote unquote jealous of any of them, but they're all still rep by great gallery in New York, which means there's a place for everybody, you know, just because that's not my taste, you know, there will be a gallery that is right for me and I'm right for them and stuff like that. So, you know, I tell, especially when I talk to students, I always tell them that, like, just, you know, find the people and find the place that's right for you. You're not going to fit in at every gallery in the world. That would make absolutely no sense. So take the time, do the research and find the places where you fit.
Well, absolutely. And just like your blog has a point of view, you know, you have an aesthetic. Every gallerist is going to have an aesthetic. And so I think part of becoming an artist is like being aware of what is your aesthetic? Like, what are you about? And like, who do you fit with? Who are the artists you kind of like to roll with? You know, like whose work kind of would like mesh with yours, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And and I don't buy into the whole competition between artists. I find that really interesting that people feel competitive towards other artists, because the truth is like we're all doing different work. I mean, there's room for everybody.
That's what I think too. I used to feel so competitive just because I was insecure and feeling like, you know, jealous before I started the Jealous Curator that, everybody had kind of figured it out except me. And so of course you feel combative and a little bit competitive. And then just as the years, you know, and I've gotten older and grown up a little bit but seen a lot, right? And you start to realize like, you know what, I'm just going to do my thing.
Yes.
And everybody can do their thing. And, you know, people are so worried about being copied and whatever. And it's like, well, copying is hey, that's how you started in grade two, right?
Copying
happens. And so all you can do is keep doing your thing. And every artist evolves in their own time. And it's all you can do is your own practice, really.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have to say that this, like, your attitude of, like, being enthusiastic about other artists is so awesome. And it really... like, that's why I think your blog is so important and, like, well-read, because you just have, like, enthusiasm. It's so great, you know? Like,
we got spirit.
It's like easy to be jaded and like, jealous and all those negative emotions, you know? It's easy to fall into that. And it's harder to be like, no, like, let's, like, lift each other up and let's, you know.
Yeah, that was
Pollyanna.
Yeah, no, that changed my life. And it really is. I feel like I talk about it all the time, but it's so toxic to be the other way. And I know, because I was, you know, and
it
didn't serve me a purpose. It just stopped me from making art and made me a grouch. So this is, I feel like me again, you know, I feel like the high school me, pre-art school. Yeah, it's so much nicer to know that you're part of a club instead of feeling like you're on your own. And when you lift each other up, then you kind of are all in this together, you know, and you're excited for other people's achievements and you're excited for, you know, all that stuff because it fuels your own.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I don't know if you are aware of the blog that I have called The Studio Work.
I just saw it when I was researching you.
Yeah. So I started that as a way to do just that, you know, like celebrate other artists and interview them and kind of get behind the scenes. And it's been amazing just meeting so many inspiring people. So
that's what I love, is the behind the scenes. I find that so, like, I mean, just this conversation, it's like Peace Corps, what? SEALs, what?
Well, we all have these weird, you know,
origin stories.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I know. I love it so much. Okay. So I wanted to ask you, so your work now, love, do you take, is that stuff from your brain, or do you take, like, do you lie under trees and take photographs and then work from that, or where does it come from?
I love the idea of I'm lying under trees.
I know, me too. I was picturing you with your baby.
Yeah,
your, like, baby just beside you, and you're just lying under trees.
Oh my gosh, it is raining so much right now that my yard is like a marsh.
Well, that's good. You guys needed rain.
Oh, we need it so bad, but it is intense. No, I do take a lot of pictures. I go out specifically and, like, during gray overcast days and take a ton of pictures. I'll, like, drive to an area that I'm always looking, like, oh, hey, there's, oh, like right now magnolia trees are, like, you know, just budding, and I'm like, oh, I got to get out there. Because the silhouettes are so interesting, and it's just not what you would think they are. Like, by taking a picture, you kind of, like, capture a moment, right? And then I print it black and white just on my printer, and then I put in a big binder. And then I keep, my thing is.
You and I could be like soul sisters with the binders and the whole marine biology. I love organizing things, so I love that there's binders involved.
Yeah, totally. And so I print it, and then I kind of use it as reference material. So I when I start a piece, you know, I have this 8.5 by 11 sheet, and I kind of look at it, and then I'll do a freehand. And I really like doing blind contour drawings. Mm. You know, you're just looking at the, you're not looking at what you're drawing, but you're looking at the, you know,
the source,
the source, right? And so drawing, and either from life or from, you know, this picture, this flat kind of picture, and I draw the silhouette. And it just, like, kind of grounds me, and it grounds the work. Like, okay, this is what I want to start with. And I don't do, you know, any sketches or anything like that. I just like start with the drawing, and I kind of have my like way of filling up that white space really quick so that I don't, you know, like you say, get intimidated by that big.
Or precious about, because if you love that line drawing, do you get precious about not wanting to mess it up or cover it up? Or I guess it shows through.
I do. Yeah. Sometimes it shows through, but I do get precious with it. And then I catch myself and it's like, oh man, I'm like, you know, you'll paint like a circle around a piece, you know, like a little passage in the painting, you know? And so one piece gets like super undeveloped and the rest is like different. It's like, like, no, goodbye.
Yeah, I got to go over you. Sorry, little pebble.
But sometimes it will just, it just stays. And I love it when it does pop through. And I try to let it come through. But sometimes it doesn't work out. And it's just like, whatever. I just can't. You know, the oil painting, it's like I work with so many layers that I can't really predict what's going to happen.
Right.
To that initial thing. But I've been working with fluorescent paint, you know, as the initial.
Yeah.
And it's just so wild to like, you know, paint with these crazy colors and know that it won't really show, or it might, you know, peek through a little tiny bit.
And are they, is it still quite washy though?
Yeah. So I'll do acrylic washes and I'll, you know, like block in color and then I'll kind of, work some brushwork into it just to kind of, figure out lights and darks and just like maybe for like 2 days I'll work in acrylic on a painting and then I'll switch to oils after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is it just totally organic? Like you, you don't really have a plan going in. Do you have a color plan or do you just go?
I just go, but sometimes I do think in my head, oh, I'm not going to do blue, you know, and then inevitably it just changes. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like, you know, like a painting that I think is going to be like dark gray turns like light pink, you know,
yeah.
So I don't know. And I do commissions. I mean, I have a couple of commissions going on right now and, but it's mostly like, oh, we like this past work. And so that way I do have to kind of keep my head, you know, focused on the outcome needs to be this lighter color. So I can't change it too much.
Right. Right.
So that's a little harder, but,
And are you working on, is it big canvas? Cause they're all quite big now, aren't they?
Yeah, the largest size I've been working on is 60 by 72. So,
oh my God.
That's pretty big.
It's really big and so awesome. And is it canvas then?
Yeah, stretch canvas.
Mm-hmm. And do you still work on paper too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I work on paper, usually, you know, full sheets or I'll tear them down a little bit so that they're more horizontal.
And so what do you, oh my gosh. So do you build those big stretchers yourself or do you have them made now?
I have them made. I have a fellow artist who has a wood shop and he makes them for me. And I just like say, hey, I need these sizes. And we figured out, you know, like a material that works for me. I need them to be pretty heavy duty and straight lines because the edges need to be pretty straight, crisp, you know, like the edge of the canvas. Because I don't use a lot of texture along the edges. And then I stretch my own canvas. So he brings the stretchers. In fact, I got a handful yesterday and then I cut the canvas and I stretch it and I have my staple gun and my gesso and I,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was so bad at that in art school. I was like so scared of the staple gun. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never do a very good job.
Yeah. I just really don't like standard sizes. I mean, 60 by 72 is kind of a standard size. I'll order those sometimes stretched, but just because they're so big.
Yeah.
But I just don't like standard sizes. And so I like to kind of make them custom and
like
a little bit off square. I don't like squares. I don't like super rectangle.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel exactly the same way, actually.
Yeah.
I often cut my paper down for my collages to exactly that, like not quite a square, not quite a rectangle.
Yeah. But then I think that's just part of like owning your process. Like, oh yeah, no, this is what works for me. It doesn't work for everyone, but this is what works for me. And it's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
And so when you've got one of those big bad boys in there that you've just made, do you have that, like, are you super pumped to just get paint on there? Or are you like, oh, it's so perfect?
Oh yeah. No, I do it right away.
Yeah. There's no looking back. Just go.
Yeah. I pull out a paper from my binder and or a couple, and then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to work with this shape today. And I just like go for it. And then I block in the washes.
Yeah. But do you ever get to a point where you're like, bah, I don't like this, and re-gesso, or do you just keep working the paint? No.
Yeah,
do you just keep working the paint, or do you get to a point where you're like, I'm throwing this one out, or can you always kind of keep working to get it where you want it to go?
You can always keep working it, for sure. I mean, I've definitely painted like dark areas over light, and it has a different quality to it, and I really like it, actually. Where actually a lot of the kind of shapes in my paintings are like really dark marks that have been glazed over a bunch, and so they look gray or light.
Mm.
And then kind of creating that space, you know, it's like, okay, something's dark, it's going to come to the front, something light, it's going to recede, and like that kind of idea. And so I'm constantly like, okay, what, I need to make some space here. How do I push it back or bring it forward? And so.
Wow, I love it. Do you have music playing when you're working?
No, never.
Is it quiet?
I find it super distracting. I listen to podcasts a lot, only just to mark the time.
Yeah.
So that I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to This American Life, and that's an hour.
Yeah. So that you know when to stop and eat? Or do you know?
Yeah, like, okay, I need to, like, work for a whole hour without, like, checking my email or without, you know, stopping to, like, walk outside or whatever.
Okay, so let's loop this back around to having a baby. So how often are you working right now? And
Right now I'm not working as much as I'd like to be, but I'm working 4 days a week for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I would like to work, 6 hours at a time, but it's just, he doesn't, you know, it's a long time for him to go without eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, but you know, I do bring him into the studio. If I'm working on paper, if I'm not working with any toxic materials, I'll bring him in and, try to get him to like hang out for half an hour. But he's so intense as a little baby. He like just wants to be held, and he wants to, and it's just, you know, of course he does. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I miss those tiny little backs that you get to rub, you know, so I know, but I know when you're in that baby thing, it's just like, it is very overwhelming, and half an hour, just trying to get half an hour to yourself is tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really, I'm just like, okay, we're doing this. It's expensive and you know, whatever, it's a commitment, but I'm going to make it happen. And I need to be out there for these stretches so that I can really work. And then any work that I can do inside, you know, on the computer, I don't do during those 3 hours. Like those 3 hours, I'm pushing paint around.
Right.
And, or,
talking to me.
Yes. Or talking to me. Or I go out in the studio on the weekend, you know, my husband's home and they're like maybe out on a walk. I'll go into the studio and just like clean or cut canvas or prep paper and make it all ready. So like Monday, you know, I can just go in there and like make some work.
Yeah. I've had so many, cause I wasn't really making art I was doing little things when he would nap, but nothing, you know, it was just for myself and whatever. But I've had so many moms on the podcast say, oh my God, I'm way more efficient now, because it's like, if I have 3 hours, I'm not going to putter and make tea first. Like, I just like, I've got 3 hours. Let's do this thing.
I used to be a huge time waster. You know, I'd like putter around and like, make the tea and like, you know, pluck something out of the garden. And check on the chickens. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So, but you know, now I can do those things on my own time.
That's right. Or with him strapped to you or something.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I know, you know, there's a lot. I love this podcast for that. I've had so many artists that are new moms, and I just think it's so fantastic that to have that balance of knowing how important it is to be there for your baby and also knowing how important it is to be there for yourself and, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you have to be a whole person. If you're not a whole person, like if I'm not doing something creative, you know, like, I don't know, like you say, you know, like that you get grumpy or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I get like beyond grumpy. It's like, no, I need to. And if I'm not painting because maybe I'm on a trip with family or something, like I got to do something, you know, some kind of creative project with, you know, my kid or something. So
I totally know. And so does everybody listening, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know your time for painting is limited these days, but are you working on any shows right now? Or do you have stuff coming up? Yeah.
I have a local show, a group show coming up. The work's done for it, called Color Play. And that's pretty awesome to have work in that. And then I have a show coming up in my gallery in Baton Rouge, Anne Connolly Fine Art.
Oh.
And so I'm working on a series of pieces for that. And they just moved into a brand new gallery space that they built. And it's just like,
wow. Awesome. When's that one?
That one's in, I have to get the work there in March.
Okay.
So tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, beyond that, I don't know.
That's pretty good. Well, I'll put the info for both of those things at the bottom of this post so that, where's the first one? Is it in San Francisco?
It's in Danville, which is out here.
Yeah. You're not near Walnut Creek, are you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did a show at the Bedford.
I know.
Yeah.
I went to that. I saw you speak. Yeah.
Did we meet?
Yes.
Oh God.
I know. I was a total fangirl. And I think Carrie introduced me to you, and I think I blurted out something like, oh my God, I love your
mom. I'm terrible. It's like a giant blur. I was so sick on that trip.
Oh, and remember that there was a really crazy lady that came to that and asked you all sorts of funny questions, and I think Carrie had to shut her down.
Oh my God, I had to sneak out the back.
Oh no.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, it was really inspiring to see you speak, and this was, you know, this is a while back. I mean, and this is when maybe I was first kind of reading your blog or something, or I had been, you know, I don't know. I was just obsessed, and I was so excited that you were coming to my town and everything. And
I feel so bad that I don't even, like, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
No. I don't think I said my name or anything, but I was just... I think I had a babysitter, so I was like, you know, trying to get out of there really fast.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I was super sick. I was supposed to finish that trip and then fly from there to New York for something else. Uh-huh. And I phoned my husband at midnight. I was supposed to leave for New York the next morning from the hotel at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
I phoned him at midnight. I was so sick. And he answers the phone, and I was like, hello. And he was like, oh my God, who is this? Like, it's me. And I was like, I can't. I was crying. I can't go on a 5-hour flight to New York. I want to come home. So I'm going to blame that on not remembering meeting you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You were just,
I was in a neo-citron haze. Okay. Now I know you don't have much time because we need you to go and paint for the next couple of hours. So let's do the not so speedy speed round. And then I'm going to let you go paint stuff.
Okay.
Ready? Favorite color.
Oh God.
I knew that would be tricky.
I really love like bright magenta kind of color. And I really love, like green, pink and green. Yeah.
Okay. I can totally see that. Well, you know, this is weird. We actually kind of talked about this. What was your favorite teacher's name?
Oh, Jane Bradbury. Oh, man. But, you know, I have lots of teachers. I mean, teachers are just so awesome, you know. In college, I worked with Frank Gluska and Robert Curito, and they were both, you know, great painters. But, yeah, Jane Bradbury.
Is that your high school teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. And I love that you're still in touch with her and friends with her, and that's so great.
Yeah, I know. She's the best, you know?
Mm-hmm. A good teacher is just, I mean, I talk about teachers on here all the time. A good teacher is just a gift. A bad teacher, not so much.
Yeah.
But well, I digress.
I think there's a lot of artists who are teachers or like happen to be teachers, but they're really just good artists and that's why they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the university level, I think that's what happens. A lot of artists get hired as teachers because they're good artists. But you know, it's better when you have a really good teacher who just happens to be an artist.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm really good friends still with my drama teacher. which is really funny. She's long retired, but when I moved back to town, I ran into her, and it was just the coolest thing. And so she ropes me into all sorts of things all the time, and she's just a force to be reckoned with. And I love that I've found her again. Linda Bevan. Give Linda a shout out. I think she listens.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
Okay, next one. Salty snacks or sweet treats?
Well, right now I'm off sugar, so.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How's that going?
It's going really good. Yeah. Well, no refined sugar, so I still, you know, eat like yogurt with some honey on it or something.
Yeah, but I don't eat sugar either, but it makes me sad.
I haven't eaten chocolate since Christmas. It's like, what?
Wow, good for you.
So it's good. Salty snacks. Yeah, that wasn't my go-to before, but now I guess. Yeah, I'll take what I get.
It's your only option. My taste changed a lot. I was always salty, salty, salty until I was pregnant. And then bring on the chocolate and the treats and the and when he was little, same thing. I was like all about the brownies and but I was like, this is so weird because it wasn't me at all, but now he's 10 and I've switched back to chips, so.
Yeah, I think that's, I had to cut it out because it was like when I was pregnant and then, you know, it's just like, oh, just like carb loading. Like,
yeah.
I was so hungry all the time.
I know. I was such a good pregnant person. Like I only ate healthy things and fruit and blah, blah, blah. And then right at the end, I was giant anyway. It was the middle of a heat wave in July. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to Dairy Queen. And it was all about the blizzard. I ate so many brownie batter blizzards. I cannot even tell you because you can't tell that you're putting on weight because you're already giant. So I was like, I'm going to need another one. And if, you know, my husband even like looked sideways at me, like, and I was just like, just drive. Like, don't you even question me.
Oh, funny. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. I was really healthy when I was pregnant too. Actually, right before I got pregnant, I was like the healthiest probably I've been and working out all the time and, you know, and then just cause I think I had time and energy for it now that my, you know, older son is older. And, and now of course I'm like, oh, I miss it so much. I'm like, oh my God.
But see, that's the beauty of the second, you know, there will be time for you again.
Yeah. I'll get back out there.
Yep. Okay. Last one. If you had a whole day all to yourself.
Oh my God.
I know, right? What would you do?
I don't know. I would stand in my yard and like, I would be like, what am I going to do? You know, this happened recently. He actually napped for like half an hour in his crib. And it was like, I stood in the middle of my house and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Like, should I go work? But then he'll wake up, you know, and then I'll like in the middle of something or like, I don't know. I would probably like weed my yard or something, you know, just like get my hands in the dirt and like, you know.
That actually sounds quite nice.
Stretch or I don't know. I feel like I'm at my best when I'm productive, like doing something that I feel is productive. And that would be like, you know, doing some, you know, making a difference somewhere, cleaning something or moving something or making something.
I know. And a day in the garden actually is really nice. You get that fresh air. Apparently there's some sort of, you're an environmental lady. Maybe, you know, my husband read something about when you have your hands in dirt, the smell of the dirt, there's some sort of endorphin, something. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. And you feel different after you've kind of been outside for a while.
Yeah.
I'd probably go for maybe a hike or something. Although I'm not into hiking by myself unless it's an area I know very well. But I don't know.
Okay, we'll let you play in your garden then.
Do errands or something.
Yeah, don't do errands. No laundry. You have to do something for yourself. Every time I've asked a new mom that, they always just say, sleep. I would sleep for 8 hours.
I'm not a good, I don't sleep during the day very well. So yeah, me I wake either. Up super grumpy. Like,
Me too. I know. When Charlie was little, there was the whole nap when your baby naps. And I was just, I couldn't do it. Because he'd wake up after an hour and I'd be like, I need three more.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it gets cut short or something.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of cut short, I'm going to let you go. And so you still have 2 hours to paint. Thank you so much for this. And I'm going to email you after this. I don't suppose you have any photos of your murals from the Dominican Republic, do you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I do. They're probably like actual photos. I can probably take a picture of the picture.
Yeah. Well, and if it's a pain, don't worry about it. But because I'm very excited just to do a regular post about you. But, you know, if you happen to have them handy, I'll throw them in the post. If not, no pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much. It's really great to talk to you and connect. And
yeah, you too.
Just love what you do. So keep it up. It's awesome.
Right back at you. Okay, I will. We didn't even talk about your
what?
Your beautiful piece in my fancy schmancy gallery.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm so excited. It's so great to see like all the activity on social media and like everyone.
I know, it's so fun. This has been my dream forever, is to have a gallery. But then, you know, I never wanted to sit in a gallery and have to go somewhere. So I'm like, well, you know, it's 2017. Perfect. I'll just put one online. And then it's so great because I have you. And then, like, yeah, I've got about 22 artists that have agreed to do this crazy thing with me. And so every, you know, couple months, I'll put up a new show. So you guys are the second show, Au Naturel. So, of course, I had to have you in there.
Yeah.
Your piece is stunning. Great. Did you see yours on the homepage?
I did. I'm so honored.
It's so beautiful. Anyway, I had to say that so that people will go and look and go and buy your beautiful original that you made for this show.
Yes.
Plug, plug, plug. Okay, that's it. Now you can really go. I will talk to you soon, and I will email you for photos and stuff.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. You have to see the piece Elise made for my fancy schmancy show. It is gorgeous. I'll put it in the post about her on my site, thejealouscurator.com, with a link to the gallery. Thank you so much to Elise for giving us an hour of her very precious studio time. And I am so mortified and embarrassed that I forgot that we met. I am really hoping she didn't say her name, because I know I would have known who she was. I'm still sticking to my blaming my cold for forgetting. And that's the story I'm going with forever. Thank you so much to Saatchi Art for supporting episode 87. And don't forget, if you're in Santa Monica, pop by the show next Thursday, and I will be there from 5 until 6 p.m. If you need the address again, it's also at the bottom of Elise's post. And then on Saturday, I'm still in L.A. on the 18th, and I'll be at Skylight Books doing a talk with Martha Rich. She's coming with me. Martha and I will be there from 5 until 6 at Skylight Books in Los Feliz. So come on over. And that's it. Before we wrap up another episode, you know what's coming, right? Thank you for listening, as always. There will be more art for your ear next weekend. See you then.